And now for another episode, Heard It Through the Rose Vine, with your host, the creator of Black Rose Writing, Raygun Brody.
Greetings and salutations. It's Raygun Brody, the host of Heard It Through the Rose Vine, signing on for another episode. And yes, we are still here. 2,000 books published and going strong. We'll be celebrating that this month. So super excited again that we've now published 2,000 books in our history. We're going to bypass all of the witty banter or chatter today and go straight to the interview. So please enjoy Brian Cohen. Our guest today is Brian Cohen. He runs the 5-day Amazon Ad Profit Challenge, an online event that has helped thousands of authors understand the complex machine that is Amazon Ads. He's also a USA Today bestselling author, the co-host of the Sell More Books Show, and the CEO of Best Page Forward, an author copywriting agency. His books have sold over 100,000 copies. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you, Raygun, for having me. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk to you. Before we get into, you know, the main things that you do, I wanted to ask if you're still writing.
That's a great question. It's tough, I'll tell you. I think that writing books is something I want to get back into here in now 2021. It's been a while, but I will tell you there's some things on the horizon. It's interesting, though. I write every day, but as you know, as a fellow person in charge of things, some of that writing ends up being emails. Some of that writing ends up being marketing. Some of that writing ends up being all sorts of stuff that doesn't end up making it onto the page somewhere. I recently sat down at a hotel to take a couple of days to work on one of those challenges that you mentioned. And I wrote something like 5,000 words that day. None of it's going into a book. So yes and no, I think would be the short answer.
Yeah, I you know, just put a big stop on writing. I had a few children's books that I kind of had on the, you know, the squirrel fund, just had those and got them illustrated and released those. But then it'd been several years before I ever, you know, really wrote anything substantial. And then a few months ago, I finally like started a new kind of dystopian, like real kind of like a Cormac McCarthy, The Road inspired kind of book.
Okay.
And started just pumping it out. And like I usually do, I went sporadic and just hammered on it and got, you know, I don't know, maybe 15,000, 20,000 words in. And then it just, then I hit the wall and I haven't touched on it since, but I'm hoping to get back to it. But I was pretty excited. But like you said, sometimes you know, you edit, you write, you do all this stuff all day. And it's like the last thing you want to do is then like, okay, let me sit down and work on a novel now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But hey, I mean, we're doing lots of good things. Or at least we're trying to do lots of good things for a lot of other authors out there. So it all evens out, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you currently reading? What do you, or who's your favorite author?
That's a great question. I've been reading a great book called Small Giants. I need to actually pick up the, Bo Burlingham is the author of that. One of my coaches turned me on to that. It's about businesses that are trying not to be big, but to be really great, like to really do something for their community and to really just do something for the people working for them too. And not just have a job that people are coming to make it really, really something. And I love that book. I would recommend it to pretty much every small business person. And hey, all authors are small business people. So I would absolutely, I'll definitely recommend it to you because it's just, it's pretty giant. Epic.
I just pulled it up on Amazon.
Yep. That's the one.
Yeah. Looks good. I will add it to my nonfiction list. I read so much fiction that I find like it's nice when you mix in a nonfiction because you it's just they read so fast compared, like especially if you're reading like epic fantasy where you're, you know, you're trying to get it, you know, trying to figure out what's going on in the story. Whereas you then you read nonfiction, you're like, oh man, this is so easy to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's easy. It's a through line. It's easy to keep track of. There's not multiple points of view or multiple mysteries to remember. It's definitely it's a little simpler at times.
Okay, you just did Bo a tremendous service because he just sold a copy on Kindle right now. So
there we go. See, helping authors every which way.
Yep, I'm going to add it to my list. I got to finish. Have you heard of Nick Cutter?
I have not.
He is a Canadian horror author, and I'm on his second book. He's written three books, and so far I'm a big fan. It's some good original horror.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, you've done Nick a service then.
So, all right, let's jump into the importance of writing and having a strong book description. I mean, whatever you want to fill in there, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. So what do you want to know? Fiction, nonfiction, book description? What where do you want to start things?
Let's just start with fiction. Like, I mean, what, you know, how important is it?
So having a good book description is very important because readers go on a particular journey when they look at a book on Amazon. I like to call the page that people look at for your book, your sales page, your book's sales page on Amazon. Obviously, there's a lot of book sales pages on Amazon. And when someone has stumbled upon your book, they go in a very particular order. Usually, they check out that cover and that title first. They may even see that before they get to the sales page, especially if you run ads or if your book came up in a search, someone was looking for modern horror and they came up with Nick Cutter's book. They already know that who the author is, what the title is, what the cover is. They're on the sales page. Then they're looking at some different stuff. They're looking at the reviews, what's the star rating. And then they're like, okay, well, maybe let's see what this is about. Click, read the book description. Maybe they click that read more tab that lets them see everything. And that's when they make their decision. So they are looking at the book description, deciding, is this book for me? And they might go scroll down and check out some more reviews if they're really on the fence, but they might make that purchasing decision right then and there after they've read the description. So as I've said before, copy is your closer. It might just be the last thing people read before they decide whether or not they're going to become one of your new readers.
And I think, you know, obviously you want to get your book description right in terms of it being, you know, intriguing and get drawing the reader in. But I think one of the most important things as well, and I'm sure you'll validate this, is it needs to be consistent, you know, with the story and the cover. You don't, you know, you don't want someone to click on a cover and go in and be like, man, this looks like a new sci-fi, you know, space opera, whatever. And then they read the book description and you're like, it sounds kind of like a, you know, a teen romance where they go mm-hmm. into space for a few minutes. Like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's tough. There can be an easy disconnect, especially if you're new to marketing a book, because writing a book and marketing a book are very different. And the outside of the book, all of the marketing stuff, the title, the cover, the description, they all need to sound like the same thing and look like the same thing. And then, of course, the inside of the book needs to match the outside. It's a delicate dance. And if you don't know as much about covers and about book descriptions, it can be hard to make sure that it all matches. You're absolutely right. It needs to fit together.
Yeah, I think it's important. Readers, probably like any consumer, you know, they don't like to be tricked, you know, whether you're doing it intentionally or not. You know, you click on an Amazon ad. You know, one of the best advices I got was on Facebook ads. where, you know, some people like to use like stock photos, and they get these stock photos that are just like the coolest stock photo. Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, my clicks on my Facebook ad are, you know, I'm getting 5% or 10% click through, you know, these really high rates, but no one buys the book. And it's like, well, they're, mm-hmm. they're looking at it as a picture, and they're like, that's the coolest picture ever. I want to click on it. And they click on it, and they're like, this is about a book. I don't even know what I was clicking on, you know? And it's like, yeah. So that's why we've reverted back to using, like, you know, book covers, and we've seen better results. Cause it's like, look, this is the book cover. That way, when they click on it, they go to Amazon, they go to wherever, and they're seeing the same cover, and they're seeing the same, you know, ad text, and it's all, you know, in sync, and there's nothing going on where, you know, they're being misled, or they feel like, oh, I didn't mean to, you know, I wouldn't have clicked on that if I would have known this. And so I think consistency really, really helps.
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of ways to get someone to go to a page if you're willing to pull out all the stops, but just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, because we're not trying to get the most clicks. We're not trying to get the most people to our page. We're not trying to get the best click-through rate. We're trying to make more money than we spend. That is the most important thing. And if one way, hey, maybe you test stuff and maybe you didn't have the experience with the stock photo, but maybe someone else does have a stock photo ad that's performing better than their regular, just a kind of a no words version of their book cover. Maybe they do make more money that way. And that's what it all comes down to. Do you make more money doing one way or the other way?
Yeah, I agree. One of the things we started doing as a staff, all of Black Rose Writing as a whole this year, we just kind of implemented it, is when our design team finishes a book cover now, and you know, the author approves it or it's near approval, we've had them send that to all the staff. So all the staff get to see the cover. And then without, you know, some of the staff really hasn't worked on the book yet, maybe hasn't, you know, gotten involved in the book yet. And so, you know, they're just seeing this with fresh eyes. And it's like, okay, you know, send an email back and respond. What do you see? Just look at the cover. Don't read the date, mm-hmm. text. You know, you don't even have to read the title. Just look at the cover and what do you see? And it's like, that's really helped us, you know, I think, because we did some books in the past, you know, several years ago, where you go back and you look at the cover and you're like, man, you know, this is like a political thriller and the cover is like a countryside in Italy. I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is about some, you know, Italian adventure love story. You know, you don't see political thriller. And so I think, you know, doing that with all of our staff and getting the different eyes on it has been really neat to see people respond and see what they think the book is about just on the cover image.
And that's super smart. That's super smart. What you've been doing, and I recommend everybody do it. Don't just say, hey, I just bought this cover, it's finished, what do you think? Because you might not be happy with what you hear. It's better to do it in a, it's better to do it with a rough draft of your cover that is not yet finished, so that you can determine, oh, maybe this might need some tweaks before I finalize it.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to put you on the spot here with a tough question. Yes. What do you think is the most important part of your Amazon product page? Like, if we had to rank them, book description, author bio, editorial reviews, you know, all of those.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I think a lot of people will expect me to say, book description, but I'm not going to. I think it's the cover, because the book cover is something that people will see on an ad, on a search, and on the page. Plus, look, you know how the old phrase goes, don't judge a book by a cover. But everybody judges a book by its cover. And so you need that cover to fit with your genre and to be kind of the same as what people expect. I got a really good metaphor on this from Charlene, one of the members of my team. She's a mom, and she says, you could cook the most amazing dinner, just so good from top to bottom, and your kids would still maybe want chicken nuggets. And readers, whether it be the kind of plots they're reading, the kind of titles they're used to seeing, the kind of covers they're used to seeing, you could make the most extravagant, beautiful cover, have the coolest, most unique book, and your readers are still probably going to want chicken nuggets. So you have to remember that when you're getting all this marketing stuff set up. And so I would rank cover. Cover is up there. Title is up there, probably followed by a close tie of reviews and book description.
And then everything else is bonus. The more you can get in,
Is bonus.
Yeah. Somebody might read an author bio and be like, hey, I went to college with that guy and didn't even know it. And then they buy your book.
I actually had that. Someone went to my high school and then bought something and told me about it. And I'm like, oh, wow, cool. How was that?
Yeah. I think of it as like the cover is kind of like your, you know, like a good starting pitcher. But in modern baseball, unfortunately, a lot of times they don't get to go nine. So, you know, the cover's there.
I like
and
that.
And then, you know, the book description and the title and all, you know, everything they're going to, you know, like you said, the cover is usually going to be what they see first and the main thing. And if the cover's really bad, you could have the best book description ever, but they might not make it to there.
So we're saying the book description is like Mariano Rivera in this metaphor, the Hall of Fame closer saving the game, bring it on home, keep the win.
Right. Clemens will get you seven or eight, and then Mariano, and then that's, you know, lights out. It's game over.
I like that. I like that.
So switching gears, what's the first type? I ask this to most people who do Amazon ads. I'm curious, what's the first type of Amazon ad you typically launch for a book?
That's a great question. I think we keep it simple, and people forget to keep it simple sometimes, but it just go in with the auto ad. I have seen, you know, I've had the fortune of work, and you've seen a lot of how a lot of ads have gone for a lot of books just because you have that big backlist with your company. But we've gotten to see ads for thousands and thousands of authors in dozens of genres, and the just regular old auto ad with a low bid. Sometimes this is the highest performer in, especially in kind of niche genre fiction. The auto ad just pulls some work, and you don't have to work as hard to set it up because it's just a few clicks. So that's probably the one I would go with.
Right. And optimizing it is, it doesn't take much time. No. But if you got a 900 keyword ad,
exactly,
you're going to spend a little time. Yeah. That's, we launched the auto ads, and like you said, it's just, I mean, you're obviously Amazon reaching books that you had no idea you would never find them to target them. I mean, just, it's just too deep.
I know.
And so they do a good job with that. And we like to do the auto ads, and then, you know, over time, if it is doing real well, then you can farm ASINs or just keywords, whichever way you want to go, and launch a new ad based on that, where you've got now, like, you know, a list of, one of our books, we have a list of, you know, 600, 700 ASINs that have all sold at least one copy, on that ASIN. And so those seem to do real well and using that strategy.
And I bet you that took you a good amount of time, and not everyone is always going to be willing to wait those months to capture hundreds and hundreds of solid targets for those ads. But people who are coming into Amazon ads need to be remembering this is fishing, this is painting a house, this is not something you do quickly. This is something that's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, you really have to talk to new authors that they have one book, and you have to explain to them, you know, like, oh, you know, if we run this promotion or we do this, you know, what is it going to have a positive ROI? And you're like, well, not today. Yeah. You know, not when the ad finishes. Maybe if you got a BookBub deal, yeah. Otherwise, you know, probably not. But I was like, it's like, you know, I've always learned in business, like, if you make an investment, you know, my mindset was always, you know, 5 to 7 years is a really good number. So like if you bought a rental property, and you were going to rent it. You know, if you're making a profit in 5 to 7 years, like it's paid off and now it's all profit, you know, that's a probably a really good investment. And so it's like you have to think of that with your book. You know, like think of the authors you read. Tell me how many authors you read on a daily basis that have one book. You know, give me that list because I'd like to see it. It's like most of the authors you read have 10, 15, 20 books. And it's like that's what they built. They built this, you know, they bought a rental, then they bought another one, they bought another one. Eventually, 5, 10 years down the road, all of this is now profit and they're making enough to live off of. And that's kind of the goal.
Yeah. No, I love those analogies, and you've got some good talking points there for folks.
Yeah, but some authors just, it's like, I want to run an aggressive Amazon ad, and I want it to be positive, and it's like, you have one book. I'm like, it's like, we can make it positive, but aggressive does not fit in there. Like, you know, if you've got 9-book series, then yeah, we can go aggressive on book one if we have the good read-through, and then obviously we'll make the money on the back end.
Yes. Yeah. And all of that is going to take time.
Yes. Yeah. And so we let our ads go and we don't try to rush them. Some of the auto ads take off. Some of them, you just kind of got to work with them for a little while.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So I'm curious if you got anything that readers or, you know, authors, fellow authors, anything that they wouldn't know about you they might find interesting?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of people know by now because I talk about it on some shows that I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in 2012, which was really fun. And I did win some money. I did win 20 grand, which was pretty exciting. Wow. Yeah, that was a fun. And hey, I, you know, wasn't too far into my book journey. So that 20 grand was like, woo, we can pay for our wedding now. It was definitely pretty exciting.
So who were your, so on The Millionaire, it would have been like, who were your go-tos? Did you phone somebody?
They didn't have that anymore. They had, you could pull the audience and you could jump two questions. But it was kind of, the dollar amounts were randomized for those first 10 questions. So you didn't know, you could jump over a $20,000 question. If it wasn't in any particular order, like first could be worth the most or the least. So yeah, it was a wild experience. And I my audience was right when I polled them. So my audience was essentially my good phone and audience.
And they got it right. That's good.
They did get it right.
It makes you hopeful that in our country that there's more smarter people than not. So
yes. I hope.
Tell me a little bit more about Best Page Forward. That's the service we recently used, and we're very pleased with our entire experience doing it.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And thanks for working with us, of course. So Best Page Forward, we are an author copywriting agency. We write book descriptions and Amazon ads, so hooks essentially for the author community. We recently came up on having done 4,000 book descriptions, which is insane. And originally it was just me, and now it's a whole big old team. And I realized just a long time ago when I was starting out on this that I loved authors and I really loved copywriting. And my friend Simon, who used to be a self-publishing podcaster, who's now a big YouTube star, Simon Whistler, he said, "Hey man, why don't you just do copywriting for authors?" And so set up a sales page, said, "Hey, I'll do your blurb for a song," essentially. And I had just a lot of people who did not want to write these book descriptions themselves, which I get. It's hard. It's a different type of writing than the writing you put into your book. So used to be just me. I taught the system to my team, and now we have over 10 writers and editors working on these every single day. And it is just really great to be able to take this part of the process off of authors' desks, because you and me both know, we have kind of a lot going on, us authors. And so it's nice to not have to do the whole thing.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you get, you know, you can get personally attached to like a certain sentence or something that you're like, I want to include this in my, mm-hmm. you know, my ad copy or my book description. And it's like, so you need an outside perspective to tell you like, that's, it's not good. Like don't have it in there. it takes away that, you know, your personal element that authors have, you know, where you're, sometimes it's the same with kind of editing. Sometimes you need a outside, you know, perspective on stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
So I've got our short story section, a few little rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready for those?
I'm ready.
Favorite movie based on a book?
The Princess Bride.
Oh man. Don't even get me. I mean, that's probably up there with top five, top 10 quotable of all time. I mean, you can go all
day. And I love the book, for what it's worth, just to tell you, I love the book because most people think about only the movie, but the book is pretty great.
It is. And one of the reasons I think, you know, you'll agree is why the movie is so good is because it's very close to the book.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think, yeah, movie fans and readers, you know, it's something you can really respect. And you know, you don't say like, oh, you know, the movie was okay. If they would have followed the book, it'd have been way better. And I think that always helps.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt.
My 4-year-old boy frequently uses the line, anybody want a peanut? That's his favorite line in the movie, on the boat.
Yes, that is a good one.
I might get you in trouble here, but what is your least favorite genre?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think, you know, I will tell you that historical religious fiction is so hard because when we write blurbs in that genre, the authors are just so, so, so tied up in so many emotions and so many beliefs with the genre and with their work that whenever we try to kind of sell it, there's often a big disconnect there. And I get it. It's because it's like, they are just they want it to be very specific and it's just hard to do. It's just hard to do it as much justice. So I wouldn't say that I dislike reading it. I don't really read that much in that genre, but I know that authors who write it are super, super into certain aspects of it.
We have a title book, Woman in Red, and it is a Mary Magdalene, you know, historical Christian fiction. And like you said, if we talk about it being Christian or if we kind of touch that, our author would get really bothered by that and wanted us to clarify that it's historical fiction. And so I can, you know, it's not that. And so it's got like the complete mixture of like 5 stars and 1-star reviews. Like there's not a lot in between. It's got the 5 mm-hmm. and 1s because the people are like, this isn't accurate because of course they know they were there and they spoke to everyone. So they know exactly the accuracy of our religious history. And so they're like, this isn't accurate. And then the other half are like, oh, I like this take. So I can definitely relate to that. That's a tough genre.
Yeah. Super, super tough.
Favorite city in the United States?
Oh, you know, I got to go with a place I live in right now that I'm moving from soon, which is Chicago, Illinois. I really have come to love this place and, it's sad to be moving, but it is for anyone in their 20s or probably in their, you know, post-child life. I think Chicago is pretty epic, but definitely a little bit hard to raise kids here.
Yeah, we went to the book fair, the book expo when they actually went to Chicago from.
I was there.
Yeah, and that was a really cool one at McCormick's and. Is that right? Is that the right place?
Mm-hmm. McCormick? It was in McCormick Place. Yep.
Yeah. So we did a lot of stuff. I had my first probably like actual Chicago, you know, unique deep dish, and it was good. But I'm still a I like the thin, flat, crispy pizzas.
That's okay, and that's okay. There's room for both. There's absolutely yes. room for both.
Yeah, and the thin crust is definitely the healthier route, so that helps too.
Absolutely.
So to celebrate, you know, say you've got a new book coming out, to celebrate it, what do you eat? You know, if you have anything to eat, you know, in the world, what would it be?
I think a lot of the time it is tacos, just some good small tacos with a giant thing of chips and guacamole on the side is probably the big go-to.
Yeah, you'd love coming down here to South Texas. That's my yes. wife makes guacamole once a week, so
I would love that. You'll have to have me.
What's your go-to drink?
You know, I'm pretty simple. I'm a coffee person. I'm not really much of a drinker for alcohol, although there was a funny story back in 20 Books Vegas conference when I was still on my podcast with Jim Kukrol. Now it's H. Claire Taylor is my co-host. But Jim made up this drink and said, someone go get Brian a pink grasshopper, which doesn't exist. I think there's like a grasshopper or there's a pink something or other. And so go get him a pink grasshopper and take a picture with it. And I'll give you a prize. And so that one sticks out to me as a good celebratory drink.
Worst job you've ever had?
You know, there were some temp jobs I had back in the early days in Chicago that were pretty bad. There was one where we were just having to stuff papers into like a pamphlet or something, and we had to do it 10,000 times over. And I was such a rabble rouser and got us totally off track, like as a group, that I got fired after one day. I think it was only going to be a several day gig, but after day one, they were like, you don't have to come back.
Yeah. Not a big fan of people who've never been fired. I mean, everyone should be fired once in their life.
So, so true. Absolutely.
Favorite thing to do outdoors?
I like playing soccer. I like kicking around the soccer ball.
Last one. If you could write your next book from anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh, that's a really cool one. You know, I have never really been around like Italy and Greece. And so maybe what I would say is shacking up somewhere in Italy near a nice cafe and a pizzeria and stuff myself silly and get it all done there.
Yeah. Go to Sorrento. Put it on okay. your list.
Sorrento. You got it.
So if you need, like, if you want to go to Italy and you're like, okay, I got to do the tourism stuff, you know, like the Colosseum and Venice and, you know, whatever, Florence. We did all of that. And my wife and I did it for our honeymoon. And it's great. Like, there's, you know, but we felt, you know, because there's a lot to do. And so you're a little rushed. But the days that we had, like in Positano and Sorrento, and I can't remember all the towns. We went to some other small towns, like in that area, like on the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
And those were like we always talk about when we go back, when the kids are a little older and, you know, we can take them with us and it's not a bad trip. Then we're going to go back and just stay there. It's like, we just want to stay like 10, you know, 15 days there where it's just the pace is slower. The food is excellent. Music, you know, everything. Just, it's more relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I'll put it on the list for sure.
So, I appreciate very much coming on. You know, that's all I've got for you. If there's anything you'd like to plug, you know, please feel free to do so.
Sure. Well, you know, every quarter I have my 5-day Amazon ad profit challenge. So if anybody is struggling with their Amazon ads and they are interested in trying to get some free help, some free videos and some free support, They can definitely search that group on Facebook, 5-Day Amazon Ad Profit Challenge. I believe we have over 16,000 people in the group now, which is just insane. And yeah, and you can always listen to another podcast, the Sell More Books Show, and listen to me and Claire every week talk about the self-publishing news.
Yep, and I've listened to that show and still listen to that show, so that's a good one to check out, especially for authors. The 5-Day Amazon Ad Profit Challenge, I joined it. I didn't participate, shame on me, but I did follow it because I was just interested and followed it and thought it was really well done.
Oh, thank you very much. Really appreciate
so,
it.
I guess I could say I do it every day, so maybe that...
That works. No, you can say that. No, that's totally fine.
What a fantastic interview with Brian Cohen. Everyone out there, please stay safe. Keep on reading. Read to your children. I'm out.